Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I was catastrophizing about World War III last night.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna go watch Civil War, I think, tonight.
Yeah, that'll help you get to the same place I am. But
genuinely, how far do you think we're off?
Like three years.
Oh, 3 days.
No, like
3 days.
I think within the next 3 years, either the climate crisis or world wars are going to change everything about how we live. And I was thinking about that, and one of the first things I thought was, God, I hope Beyonce gets Act 3 out before it's all over.
Do you genuinely think we're done for?
Well, I guess because I worry so much about like my mortgage, you know, like all these things are going to last a long time, and like insurance, and I'm constantly trying to think like years ahead, and then it's almost like I'm not necessarily easing those anxieties, but I'm being like, it doesn't even matter in the end.
No.
I think things are going to get so bad that whatever future planning we're doing,
totally,
it's going to be irrelevant.
What was I going to say? Oh, I think about like World War One. Uh-huh. And how that was saying, like, it was just like time for a war. Like, that was sort of like the pressure. Like, that was sort of like, it was like,
yeah, that's
geopolitically, everyone was like tense, and like, it was all about sort of like, everyone was sort of pushing everyone, and everyone's like sort of fraught. And then I was like, oh, fuck it. Let's just let it all out. Franz Ferdinand got shot or whatever.
Yeah, the inciting incident isn't really what it's all about.
Nah. And I'm like, I'm like, okay, so we've got like, I think about like the lead up, and you're like, okay, so. Politically, like the US is, and it's like, you know, it's on this rapid decline of like it being such a power player. And then, like, you've got this like maniac president who's absolutely coming back for a second round.
And then we've got like China who are just waiting, and they're so powerful.
Yes. And then, like, this Israel Gaza, like, horrific genocide that still plays out, and like this pressure for like international intervention. And you're like, it's all just gonna, I guess, tipple over? I don't know. Add a bit of climate. Add Taylor Swift
the
in the mix.
Crisis.
I'm blaming Taylor Swift in there.
Yeah, of course. But we've really got, I think, 3 episodes in a row of Taylor Swift hate, and now it's come to a place where we're suggesting she will be part of World War III.
Cue theme song.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Welcome along to this week's episode of The Male Gaze.
And we can say this week's confidently because for 2 weeks in a row, an episode has emerged.
Yeah, and that's been on you, actually.
Me? Really?
Yeah, you message me, another rep. And I go, absolutely. And do you know what? It feels good. It feels good to converse like this.
This is one of the first times that I'm doing the New Zealand Comedy Festival without a full-time job on top of it.
Interesting. How are you feeling? Because, like, I mean, you are a casualty of this, what we would call, say, the decay of traditional media.
Yeah, the implosion.
The implosion of traditional media, as the spinoff would call it.
Yeah.
And you've sort of been caught in the crossfire of that. But, like, it's... But, like, you're so, like, alt media as well, in the sense that you've got, like, podcasts and stand-up.
Other things going.
But...
I think I am now.
You're such, in my mind, like, of all of my gigging friends, like, you're the one who's always, like, had those writing jobs.
Yeah, I have, for so long.
So long.
This is probably the longest stretch I've had without a little 9-to-5.
Amazing.
And so long. And the thing is, it's fine. But it also is a little hard.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm getting better at building routine. And,
I keep thinking about, like, what life's going to be like out of the recession.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm like, oh, because I'm like, you know, everyone's I'm doing absolutely fine. I'm doing great, in fact. There's so many people who are not doing fine. And you're like, fuck, man. Like, there's just, and I'm like, oh, there's not a lot of money going around. Like, you can feel it.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is it like when the money's going around? How does that work again? Like,
I know.
Is it like there's more advertising happening? Or like, what's, like,
do people just start doing crap? I mean, we kind of got a mini one just after COVID, right?
When yeah, like everyone like, was buying. I guess, I'm like, what are the indicators that we're doing well? And I was like, oh, everyone was buying like armchairs.
Yeah.
And like side tables and like, and tech.
And
like,
lots of holidays.
Everyone's going to Europe. Everyone's going on yeah.
Lovely expensive holidays.
And the signs now is everyone's like, three easy meals to cook at home using sardines.
And just Pack and Save's busier.
Yeah.
Pack and Save's so much busier.
It's so much busier.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, we were
God.
Like, oh my God, I'm spending $300 at Faro. You know, and now it's like,
oh my God,
we're not doing that anymore.
I hate it so much. And I also hate the fact that I'm talking about it. You know, like, for anyone listening, I'm like, you're sick of having this conversation as well. But, anyway.
Everyone's broken. Everyone has ADHD. I guess it's sort of like where
those
we're
are
at.
The trending things. Yeah, and all women are bisexual.
All women are bisexual. And yeah. All men are bisexual.
Yeah, and congratulations.
And congratulations on that.
I met some lovely podcast fans when I was in Australia, and I definitely promised one that I would make them the queen of the week. But I will say, I forget
absolutely.
Why, and I forget who they are.
Okay, so not happening.
But if that was you...
Shout out to the fans.
Shout out to the fans, and thank you for coming up and chatting.
And we actually don't want to call you fans. We want to call you our community. Our community.
Do we need to come up with a fan name? Is that a thing that you care about?
I'm into creating. I don't want like it to be like a one way like sort of on us. Like I want it to be like we are in this space.
We're all
together.
In this together. We are part of our family.
Who holds the mic? The white cis gay men. But we are collectively in this together. Who is vocal in this space? The two sort of white cis gay men. But what is the space? A space for everyone.
Everyone's welcome, but not everyone's on mic.
Yeah. Everyone's welcome. Everyone's listening. Two people are speaking.
Should we call everyone our chosen family, but with like a hint of irony so that we feel okay about it inside? Yeah. I've been trying to come up with
our, like, I think it's like something about chosen family is that it does require a level of like auditioning.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. So because we haven't met some of them, they're not allowed to be in the chosen family.
I think they're our ensemble. You know, we may be the leads.
The chorus line?
The chorus line, our chorus line.
Okay, decided. Done. The band is called the chorus
and we
line.
We shout out to our chorus line. And actually, beautiful to be sort of, I'm going to say, 6 years into the podcast.
Yeah, and finally have that.
Kind of land
there.
On a sort of Stan yeah. name.
So when you meet us, you can come up to us and say, I'm in the chorus line.
I mean, what did we cover on this podcast? It's sort of...
musicals?
Pop news. Sort of zeitgeisty stuff. And then we get a bit like distracted.
Yeah, and depressed.
What I'm just trying to figure out is like, is this a space for us to talk about Drake and Kendrick Lamar? Or is that something we leave to someone else to cover?
Oh, I mean, me and my gay boyfriend are talking about it a lot. So
I didn't realize he was gay. So
and he actually doesn't want people to know. So okay, I'm sorry to say that.
Well, we'll just keep it between us and our chorus line. First application
yes.
of that. I think I don't really know what's going on there, but was it Twitter beef? Is it all happening on Twitter?
So there's a third person involved who kind of kicked it all off, and I can't remember who this is.
Okay.
Meek Mill?
I've seen like memes where it's like Kendrick, Drake, and then like the third person's name, and they're like silent.
Yeah, but so they kicked it off. I think they did a track about the top three, who the top three are, and it was like kicking the other ones out. And then Drake dropped this diss, right, where he used AI to recreate Tupac's voice and Taylor Swift's voice. And Tupac was like...
interesting.
Kendrick's main influence, I think, or like his most cited inspiration.
Who did it? Kendrick.
Drake did that track.
Okay.
And then
using AI.
Yeah, AI. It's since been taken down because the families of the deceased people involved sued.
Fucking
so it's gone.
Hell.
And then I think... Kendrick did a track that was all about Drake being short. That was the main gist. Then Drake did another one, insinuating that Kendrick beats women up. And then Kendrick did one insinuating that Drake's a pedophile. And
which he is?
I don't know. I don't know what the facts are. But then
what are they doing? What are these diss tracks? Are they like uploading them to Spotify.
Yeah, and I think they use like old beats or like existing.
And they just sort of lay down in the studio and then upload it to like Spotify or like kind of like what we do with the podcast.
Exactly. I think they put it out like an hour after they record it. They're like, here it is.
Wow.
There's
I
no
like
editing,
that.
There's no like That's super fun. High production. It is fun. Like Nicki did that one about Megan Thee Stallion had that one lyric about yes. Nicki being married to a convicted sex offender, which he is.
Yeah.
And then Nicki dropped that wild track, which clearly was like not only hurried together, but I think completely, mostly improvised in the studio, and it is so bad.
This kind of comes down to this thing of like, for me, I hate people who are like, I don't like conflict. You know, like it's sort of, I'm like everyone, it's, conflict is unavoidable. But I do think I'm someone who doesn't really gravitate towards drama.
Mm. Even when, so you don't care about the Kendrick Drake or are you?
It doesn't.
Did you care about Katy Perry Taylor?
Nah, it doesn't make me feel anything. Like I think I look up it because I'm like, what's going on?
Mm.
But I don't feel anything inside of it. I think I maybe feel a little bit more towards like Patti LuPone and Andrew Lloyd Webber when the Evita stuff was going down.
Patti LuPone versus Madonna? Surely you were.
And I liked that too.
Yeah,
I loved
that.
Yeah, so like yeah. maybe it is, maybe I do like drama. It's like weird. It's like if it's in like hip hop or if it's like pop music, I'm not less interested.
Mm.
Because if maybe it feels a little closer to home, then maybe I get it.
True.
But I don't know. I'm like, even in my own personal life, no, I like gossip.
I love gossip. A bit of gossip.
I love a bit of gossip. Do you like gossip?
I love gossip.
Yeah. I've started realizing that I can access, like, there's that quote that's like, you can't, I don't know what the quote is actually. And actually, I don't even know if it's the thing, but I remember once someone saying this to me, that like, it's hard when you're trying to take away a habit in your life, just to remove the habit, you need to replace the habit with something else.
Of course.
So it's like...
like smoking with walking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think I need to replace the gossip in my life from people that I like know and like actually kind of care about.
With celebrities.
Well, no, with just like other shit. Like I saw a recall notice at the supermarket for like a gluten-free bread. And they're like, hey, we're recalling this product. And I did feel a little excited about it. And I was like, oh, that could be maybe what it is. I'm like, oh, my God.
Have you heard about the Bergen?
Yeah.
Have you heard about the Bergen?
Oh, my God. Everyone at the office must be so embarrassed. You know, like, I thought maybe that's a healthier way because then you're sort of not – there's no one, like, personally who's being damaged here.
Do you think – okay, and I'm going to reference someone we know and some a bit of gossip that is public knowledge because of their podcast, but I feel like Johanna Cosgrove – Noah Lover.
Yeah.
Had an exciting, dramatic Melbourne.
Did she talk about it on the pod?
She's talked about it on her pod.
Oh, amazing.
Has come back to talk about it on the pod. Rats in the gutter.
Another Little Empire pod.
You got to listen to it.
It's part of our chorus line.
Yeah. But basically, it's not even necessarily that it's gossip because it's not necessarily like negative. It's like, but just exciting things were happening in her life. And for me, she was the central character of the Melbourne Comedy Festival because
yes.
of the whirlwind month that
it was
she had.
Nice when people, she just had this like, romantic fling with yeah. another comic. And it was really what I found to be quite useful was people would often say, how's your album going? Good. And they'd be like, any gossip? And I'd be like, actually, yeah. And then I'd be able to like factually just like give out like 10 facts about like this Johanna Cosgrove
adventure. Amazing episode. Like if this was a TV show about this.
And you should go listen to the podcast because she will
she'll bring it out
in a way that's just much better than we can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I agree. Like, it was so good to have that.
And nice to have some gossip that wasn't related to anyone's comedy performance. You know, like, that didn't involve, I don't know, because you know when there's gossip, but it's about, like, this person did this, or this person's doing this joke, and they stole it from this. But you know, like,
yes.
that stuff, I really...
And kind of positive gossip, in a way, because yeah. it's, like, romantic, sexy gossip versus, yeah. like, bad, incriminating gossip.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, it's not actually gossip. Maybe... a definition around what gossip is.
It's almost like we want some different words.
There's sort of tea, there's gossip, there's drama, and then there's like allegations.
Yeah.
And these are like very separate categories that like you can't discuss allegations with the same energy of gossip, but it often does happen.
You can't be like, here's the tea, and then drop a horrific assault
I've
story.
I've heard it though, like yeah. deliver that way, and you're like, I don't know if that's tea.
No, that's not.
I think that's...
a crime.
I think that's a crime.
Yeah, it's criminal, yeah. Yeah.
That's like years behind bars.
Please, I hope so. okay, I do have a fact of the day.
Me looking at the time, I just think how long we've gone. How long do you reckon we've gone?
I honestly think it could be 4 minutes.
Yeah, it's like it's been honestly 15. I feel like there's more in us.
Yeah, we've got we've
how
got
did
more
you find
go.
Wellington? We've just come back from the Wellington Gala.
It was just so in then out for me. I did love being there and it was a beautiful day.
Walking down Courtney Place was so surreal to me.
I know.
It is like, I mean, I just think maybe it's like we last episode we were just talking about how Auckland as a city is not necessarily in her thriving era, as we would say in 2023.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would say Wellington is a city that is humming.
It was unbelievable. The lines.
Compact. Yeah. Small. Everyone's there running around.
Club to club. There's queues outside clubs.
Do we want to be there?
Absolutely not.
No, we don't want to be on Courtney Place. But it is nice to see people going from bar to bar. And I didn't realize, like, and this is just, I guess, a symbol of how old we're getting. Mm. But I didn't realize you were being fully, like, having your picture taken when you go into a bar and, like, put into an iPad.
It happened to me in Sydney. I went to a karaoke place and I didn't have ID. In fact, actually, after this, I need to go to the NZTA and get a new driver's license.
You don't have ID?
I think my driver's license is just, like, somewhere in Melbourne. So my ID is my passport, but I don't really want to take that everywhere.
I have no idea where my passport is right now and I need it, like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
sorry, I just God. Felt that. God. It was in a bag. I took it out of the bag. Now it could be anywhere.
But he, at the karaoke place, because they need to take a photo of you on an iPad and a photo of your ID, but he let me airdrop him a photo of my passport instead of showing the actual passport.
To the iPad.
To the iPad.
It's so crazy. The iPad itself is a device you will see now in town.
I hate it when you have to, industry, but when you go to an audition and you have to fill out your measurements in the iPad?
Yes.
Yeah. I hate it.
I hate that too. I hate filling out my measurements full stop, industry.
I'm like, can someone load this up to the cloud and me not have to write this out every time? Because I'm writing, like,
yeah.
Well, sometimes it's maybe changed by a centimeter or two. But it's kind of like, this should be
also,
in the cloud.
If I book the job, are you using this?
They're not using
They're not using this.
They're not. They pull out like five different sizes and be like, one of these should fit.
Yeah. Oh, it's really raining. It's quite romantic. So what's the deal with the iPad in town? Why are they taking your photo?
Well, I wonder if it's similar to when I actually bought marijuana legally in Los Angeles.
Cool.
They put you in a system. So they take a photo of your ID and a photo of you. And I think it just is like for the police or something. You know, there's just got like some legal record that you are doing this activity that requires being a certain age.
Right.
I think. Some of the people in those queues in Wellington did not look 18 to me. But maybe that's just because I am 35.
They were so maggot. They barely looked like humans. Their eyes were like hanging out of their heads. It's amazing, actually. It's something to behold. And like the fashion is so like,
How would you describe the fashion that you were seeing?
Well, we're kind of back into wearing like crop tops.
Yeah.
And like tiny little tankinis. And the boys are like dressing like the ones that bullied you when you were 12. And like tummies are out.
Tummies are out.
I was just like, could not imagine having my tummy out. And it's not about...
On a
freezing cold Wellington night. But it's just like, oh, wow, tummies are out. I guess like I don't have any friends who would have their tummy out.
I have a few friends that would wear crops, but not...
More tummies like out at the beach.
Yeah, it's a summer look, yeah. Not really in the evening. Although, no, I've seen a few. But they're more like crop under like a... baggy blazer. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Not in the same way that you were seeing. Not boob tubes.
We're seeing boob tubes, yeah. I guess, is what is amazing. It's like the boob tubes back. And it's I guess it's exciting. It does trigger me.
Really?
Like, I think I was in the deepest parts. Well, not, it's funny. It's like, am I in the deepest parts of the closet or am I on the precipice of stepping out when I was in Wellington?
I know exactly what you mean.
Like, it's like, it was like the danger zone, you know, and you're acting like, now I'm really convincing myself I'm into this. And beyond like dating women, it was like the performance of like playing into this sort of heterosexual male testosterone world of like going to town. And like, I just, that whole area reminds me of like being maggot, a closet faggot. I'm dropping rhymes like Drake, you know, but like, you know, being really thank good, you.
that was maggot. Really cool. I know you're part of the beef.
Part of the beef. yeah, like being in town and like just kind of like, what is that culture?
I think.
Have you ever done town?
Yeah. When I did it a few times in Christchurch, absolutely hated it every time. Oh, except the only times I loved it was post like closing night of a drama sock show, like a theatre show.
That's great. And it's you and the gals.
Me and the gals, and going to a like a BYO afterwards and just getting rooted and
but
going
that's
to the Litchfield Lanes in Christchurch.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I had some really good times there. But the idea of going to town with like my high school friends when it was like the pursuit is, I guess, someone's going to one of us needs to pash someone. And even then, even when I was like going out with like my girls that I, you know, I had all these friends that were girls, even though I was like the straight guy, that it almost like the pressure was almost even more for that because it was like I was the only boy. So they were like, we want to set you up with a hot chick.
Oh my God. And it's like the preloading and the smell of everyone's like the fragrance. Everyone's wearing like a fragrance and like all the fragrances are like clashing.
And everyone's straightening each other's hair.
Yeah.
Straightening each other's hair while drinking vodka
and like you're like kind of wanting to be with the women, but you're sort of having to like chat with the guys. And then it's like, should we go to town one night?
What, us?
Yeah.
Which part of town do you mean? The Viaduct?
I guess so. The Male Gaze Investigates.
Yeah.
Go, like, pre-drinks. Oh, man.
It's kind of an incredible idea.
I think at this point, and this just says between us and the chorus line, do not leak this. It would require drugs.
Of course.
It requires drugs. It's not.
To enjoy that? Yeah. It's.
How many people are on drugs in town?
Everyone is having fun.
It's an unspoken thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is everyone going to the toilet to do drugs? Is that why everyone's going to the toilet?
I think so.
Or is everyone going to the toilet to wee?
You also have got to piss a lot when you're drinking.
You do, I guess.
Once you break the seal.
Yeah.
Oh,
God.
And I think the people who get drunk enough that they're enjoying it are so drunk and have a problem.
Yes.
Because I don't think you can enjoy a nightclub on like 3 to 5 drinks. You know, like, I don't think you can be that level of, like, just a bit tipsy and be having a good time.
No, you have to be, like, you have to be at the peak of your enjoyment, like, of, like, intoxication, highness levels to be in that space.
You know what?
Want to wait in line.
Yeah.
Like, what? I'm just, like, walking past, like, was it Dakota, the bar that had, like, the mechanical ball Western themed?
Yeah.
And the line, they've got, like, two lines, so they can have like an alleyway for the people to walk through on Courtney Place. The line's probably like half an hour. I'm like, what is in there that is worth this?
Nothing is going to be worth that.
Because they're the same. They all are the same design. They've got a bar, they've got bar people, dance floor, loud music. The music is exactly the same. Why is this one like vibes and the other one not?
Is it $12 teapots maybe, potentially?
It could be a discount.
Like that.
Maybe it's because that's where everyone is.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, maybe you're going to meet someone.
And you're like,
there.
You're all literally basically in the same building with these walls between you. Let's just knock it all down and make it one big town club
room. How good was the night in Melbourne? This is like the second or third to last night where we all went to the festival club and they'd actually closed the dance floor because no one was wanting to dance. And then we forced them to open it.
Yeah.
And then people were DJing who did not know how. And the songs were like finished. There was like 25 of us in Max Wads, massive space.
Yeah.
Dancing like freaks.
Yeah.
No one is DJing properly. There is a 10-second gap of silence between each song.
Because there was a Spotify. There was no like DJ decks plugged in. It was just Spotify DJing.
And so those people were trying to mix from one song to the other, but what would happen was just the song would finish halfway.
Yeah.
But we were having the night of our lives.
We're having a fantastic
night. That's what I want.
Night.
I kind of want a club to be you obviously don't want a club to be empty.
No.
But I don't want it to be full.
What I'm hearing inside of this is actually a desire to go out.
Yeah.
But to do it on our own terms.
On our own terms, you're right.
That's interesting. Maybe we need to get into, like, you know, partying a bit more. Studio 54 as an idea sounded brilliant.
Do you think to be able to run a successful nightclub, do you think you should be a person who loves nightclubs and will enjoy it? Or are you a person who doesn't like most nightclubs, therefore you create the space that offers something that none of the others do?
I think there needs to be a level of theatricality to run these. I think, like, I've watched the Studio 54. I never understood what Studio 54 was until I watched the documentary.
Yeah,
I don't know where the documentary is. I just happened to accidentally watch it and then was, like, enthralled and then was sobbing.
Wow. It's, I've got to watch this.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
What I didn't realize was that it was a theater. It was like an abandoned theatre, the space.
Oh, wow.
And so upstairs where the sort of circle is was like where everyone was doing...
drugs.
What were the drugs, though? It was opioids. It's like Quaaludes. They were doing Quaaludes.
Yeah.
Up there and like and fucking each other. Wow. And then downstairs was like the dance floor and the seats were taken away. And then they had like rigged, you know... they'd rig like a sun to like come down, or like a horse, or like
the horse is like, and that's why Beyonce rode the horse.
Like, yeah, like, but they're just like old theater props, and they were all made by like people who were in musical theater and doing like stage design. So it's like the theater queens had it; they know how to orchestrate it all. Like that's why we have such a good time, I guess, at Melbourne Comedy Festival, because it's like theater freaks.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were in a theater; like it's all purpose built for that.
Right.
And then like the devastating part of the Studio 54 documentary is like, oh, you're like, this is sounds like the best time ever, and it was like, and it was 1979, and then we realized we were all having unprotected sex with each other.
Yeah.
And then the AIDS epidemic broke out, and then these amazing people who were like creative geniuses were all in the same space, and then they all pass away, and you're like watching it like, no, this can't be how the story ends. It's like devastating.
You know what's so horrific? I was thinking was this obviously like when people make sort of AIDS jokes, it's definitely like an inappropriate thing now, but I'm like, God, those jokes were born out of and being made well. Like the reason... it's obviously just insensitive in general, but the reason it's so insensitive is because there's people around now who lived through that crisis and people were making those sort of jokes on TV as millions of people were dying.
Yeah, it's fucking disgusting. Whenever I hear an AIDS joke, I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing?
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, there is literally nothing funny about this.
No.
It's so weird.
It's so sad.
And it's so, like, you still kind of hear them.
I know. And it'll just come out of nowhere and it's... yeah.
I'm like always shocked when I hear one. I kind of go, I sort of roll my eyes. But I think my new strategy is just to be mad.
Would you ever say this? Don't say that.
I think I'd go, what the fuck are you joking about?
Yeah.
Like, what's funny about that?
Yeah.
It's so weird, huh?
It's really,
and
really
now
weird.
It's like, you know, because we're trying to break down stigma about people who are living with HIV.
Yeah.
You know, it's unhelpful in that sense. But then I'm also like to joke about a previous, you know, like
epidemic
that was just, you know, killing hundreds of thousands of people. It's like, why are you going back there?
It's so weird. And I think people think that we're so disconnected from it now, but it's like, it's not that long ago. It's not.
I think it's because there's like these sort of trigger words that lazy joke.
Shock. They get a reaction.
Yeah, like lazy joke writing relies on,
yeah,
you know, Malaysia flight. Jetstar, AIDS, like all these sort of words that are like for people who don't know how to write jokes. Like
David Bain.
It's just like a you hear it and you're like, ugh. Like you don't even think about what you're listening to. You just laugh because the word's been told to be funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
Well, that was random.
That was intense.
Yeah, we're still passionate.
Yeah, we still have something serious to say.
You got a fact of the gay?
Yes, okay. And here's one of the reasons we had such a good night on that last night was to do with a product called Poppers, which...
Oh, my God. I forgot. You know what? So I did Poppers for the first time. It was like 2014. And I like had a sniff of it and it gave me a headache.
Yeah.
And I was like, I actually don't like that.
Yeah.
I think probably because I just like smelt it and was like, oh, and then I was like, ow, my head. And then I sort of stayed away from it because I just genuinely hate having headaches.
Yeah, they suck.
And then I was like, why would you want to ruin a great night out with then having a headache?
Yeah.
But then we were dancing and I was like, the little pottle was being handed around. Yeah. I was like, absolutely. And I was like, oh, this is fantastic.
I get this.
This is really fun. It's like spinning around and getting a little bit dizzy.
Yeah. I think they're a lot more, well, just maybe easy to get in Australia because I definitely when me and Sam went over last year and we went to Circuit and it was just like on the floor around you. Like, yeah. I don't know if I saw someone who didn't have poppers.
It's like smelling a Vivid.
It is, yeah. And it gives you a quick little rush and then you're back.
You're
literally back to normal so quick.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was sort of looking up the history of poppers. So okay. Here's the effect of the game. Okay. Here's why they called poppers. So they got really popular during the 1970s. And the reason they're called poppers is because they were sold in glass vials that once used to be have to be squeezed or popped between one fingers to release the vapor. So you would actually pop them out.
Oh, that's great.
Well, they were originally they were prescribed for the management of angina. During the mid-19th century.
Angina is...
It's like chest pains.
That's a funny word to me.
Very funny.
I like
it. And I'm ready for more angina jokes.
I've used angina a lot.
And so funny that you had to ask what it is, but you have used it.
I've used it heaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like gout.
It sounds like vagina. Yeah. Sounds like mangina. Like it's all sort of there. Gout's also great too.
Mangina is... It's funny to me. That is so of a time.
Yeah.
They'll be like, Kevin's coming and he's going to do his mangina. Kevin, do the mangina. Get the mangina.
Do your mangina. Or put your mangina away. Like, it's
so late.
It's so stupid.
It's so dumb.
You're like, what are we looking at? Which is like, your pubes?
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird. That's where I'm like, straight men be crazy. Straight men be so gay.
So gay.
It's like, what are you doing?
I remember doing... And this
you're like tucking.
Yeah. Yeah, and even the way you have to
walk.
To push your legs together gives you like an hourglass.
I know, and then you're sort of
like you're
and you're walking like you're wearing high heels for the first time. You're like a toddler walking.
Yeah. And then if you see it from behind, it's like that is
horrific.
Disgusting.
It's awful. It's like a little bit it's like your compost bin. Like it's just full of like horrible, gross. Yeah. And the arms always come out. What can I ask? What occasion of mangina would happen?
At like a 21st, like on a bus trip.
But how do we get to that? This is the thing.
Who is?
I want to dissect the psychology of a mangina.
Yeah,
of course. So, and then we can get back to poppers. But like, what events lead to a mangina being exposed?
I guess, because in my mind, normally the mangina...
Because I'm like, to see one, you like if I was to do like a montage of a bus trip, I'd include a mangina in the montage. Because of course that existed, but how do we get to the point?
Because to me, it normally normally the person who's going to do the mangina hides and then emerges.
So there's a reveal.
There's a reveal.
Yeah, a reveal, sorry.
And that's what I think, maybe it's like in the bathroom with a mate. Talking, hey, good night. Oh, fuck. You know what would crack these guys up? If you went out there and got your mangina out. It's like, yeah, man. Oh, depends.
I feel like I think it's the next step, like the punch up from mooning.
Oh, like someone's mooned.
So
and
someone's,
then someone's
got their
like,
ass out.
Yeah.
Put your fucking ass away, bro. Pants go down further. Tuck, turn around. We can't believe it.
He's done the mangina.
And can you imagine the energy of the first one? I think it could have I think people would have lost their minds.
Did you do it as a child?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the thing.
Of course.
It's also like, yeah, I just did it by myself.
But I wouldn't call it a mangina.
No.
You're just exploring your body.
Yeah.
In a beautiful, unjudgmental way.
Just playing with dance.
Yeah, exactly. It's just... figuring out what goes where.
Yeah, you're just finding your clown.
I'm doing golly, yeah. I'm finding my clown. Clown's a mangina. Title of the episode.
My clown is a mangina. Well, that's because I think when the first person did it publicly, I reckon a lot of the men watching would have been like, I've done that in my room.
Right.
Yeah.
But then, so it's more like, oh, he's saying that something we haven't been brave enough to admit.
Mm.
So it's kind of a brave... In fact, the mangina was a sort of brave act of kind of pulling apart toxic masculinity that then got weaponized by men and became like the sort of misogyny. It's sort of misogyny, but is it like... It's weird. It's like...
It's misogyny because, it's a man being like...
You're like, women are pathetic.
Yeah. Look at me, I'm being dainty.
But then it's also like they're debasing themselves. Like, it's so weird, like, the humiliation men put themselves through to, like, mangina. Like, because we're laughing at them.
That's the thing. To get fully nude and know that it is not... No one is going to find it sexually attractive.
No, yes.
Is a...
Men are so... What is it? It's like radical, like, clown. It is clowning.
It's clown. It's a desperation for attention. It is.
And it's like, how far can we take this? And it's like, oh, his... Yeah, it's like nudie running. Like, how men love to, like, run...
Yeah.
Naked around.
I think men are desperate.
Streaking.
They're desperate to create the memory that people will talk about at parties in 20 years.
Yes, but it's like, how do we
it takes.
Beat up the gag beyond? I'm like, yeah. They're never putting on layers.
No, they're never dressing up.
They're not even putting on a character.
They don't want to add anything.
The characters, I mean, it is, in a sense, clown. There's a performance that gets put on.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a walk, there's a face.
Yeah.
Arms are doing something. But it's... Yeah, mate, you would never put on a costume to do that same performance. It's always about taking it off.
It is. And it's always, and I would say the performers of the mangina are usually the sort of like the least femme men. You know? Like that's what the comedy is, I guess.
Yes, it's not like, well, that's beautiful.
No. No.
It's never giving like Rose Titanic.
It's always a very, very, very inaccurate representation of a woman. Rose on Titanic. But they will say, pay me like one of your French girls. Well done.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh, 100%.
And they'll push their little chest together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh. But it's not to create beauty, is it? It's actually about... And it's like, I mean, it is puppetry of the penis. And well... Is it?
Do you reckon Puppetry of the Penis is on tour right now?
Oh, I'd love to go.
I'm going to search.
Would you classify? I mean,
we should go to Puppetry of the Penis before our big night in town.
Yeah.
Now, preload! Puppetry of the Penis. Viaduct.
Poppers Town.
Poppers Town.
Do you think Puppetry of the... To mangina is penis puppetry or if it's like anti-puppet? Because it's like the removal of the penis. But I guess that in that sense is puppetry.
It's a manipulation of the body, which I guess
mangina is one of the early art forms of puppetry of the penis.
Which, if you would like to see, is on is showing it in Las Vegas right now. And in fact, at the Perth Fringe this year.
Are they in the sphere?
Oh, that whole screen behind them. There's all these rumors about Beyonce's going to be the next artist in the sphere. Nah.
Do you think they're proud?
I think they hate it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine living in Vegas and you're like, what's, or even just your family being like, what's Jack up to? And you're like, he's actually performing in Vegas. Oh, so he's kept up with the performing arts. That's amazing.
I loved him and Oliver when he was Sagan.
So what's he doing over there? Is he dancing for a pop star or is he, oh, no. He's doing a sort of performance artwork. He's doing puppetry of the penis.
There's got to be a documentary, eh? Because also, like,
it has to be.
It's sort of, I don't know who the original, obviously it's like there were the original creators who did
it. I feel like I've seen it. Like they came to New Zealand.
Yeah, but then they've mentored, like there's new puppeteers, right?
Yes.
They pass on a teacher.
There's, in the sense of clown school, there is penis puppetry school.
Imagine the rehearsals. Imagine passing it on, being like, here are the rules.
So, mate, you cut or, and you have to be uncut to do it, right?
Oh, really good question.
Because it's, in a sense, kind of, becomes a bit like dicey in terms of who gets to puppeteer their own penis, like what penises get puppeteered.
Yeah, of course.
Because I imagine there's a lot of foreskin.
Foreskin stuff. I do pulled. Know that what, at one point in my life, me and some friends did look up all the ones and did specify which ones we thought we could do. And one of the
actually have no idea. I would love to have a little look at one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Hold on, get my phone.
Yeah, you look on your phone. I don't want to search it for you.
No, we can just kind of describe.
Yeah, we can go over them. The one that I knew that I could do was there was one where they made it kind of like a yacht. Like stretch the foreskin out into like
a sail.
Sail of a ship. Yeah.
Huh.
That is the only one that I really remember. I
wonder if it's like protected in a sense. Like it's like the mousetrap where they're like, we never reveal.
It's not publicly available. But surely anyone could go home, do it themselves and upload those photos.
And I imagine a brief history of puppetry of the penis. What an amazing... The show was in the 1998 Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Oh, wow. I wonder which room they played.
There's a lot of photos.
Imagine seeing puppetry of the penis in like...
Why am I like...
A 30-seat room.
I'm not allowed to see these images anymore.
Have you got work settings on?
I must do.
All right, let me have a look.
I want to see a puppet.
Do you ever MediaWorks email while you're at the edge?
Yeah.
Because when I install that on my phone... It absolutely ruined my life.
Oh, I haven't uploaded it into my phone.
Oh, that's good. Because that might have been...
It's so crazy to see their playbill. I just want to see a penis here. It's all just their imagery.
The penis.
Oh.
Examples.
Oh, I see. Only in Vegas. Here's a review. Puppetry of the Penis, this is on celebrityradio.biz. Puppetry of the Penis is an international celebration of the diversity and talent of the male member. The show is played to millions of people over 35 countries and 5 languages. Puppetry of the Penis began in 1998, Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and was received the outright best show.
Wait, outright best show where?
At Melbourne. I think it won the Barry, I guess. Performing nightly, 8 p.m. Las Vegas, Erotic Heritage Museum. This show is perfect for those fascinated by the man sausage in every form. Okay, the Saint Cirque du Soleil. It's a 70-minute show. 70 minutes.
There must be songs or something. Okay, I've got a guide here for how to make the hamburger.
Oh, I can see the hamburger here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so there's a camera that projects it up the back.
I see.
Okay, look, guys, we'll move on. We can see this has run its course.
We've heard from the chorus line. You guys hate this.
So going back to poppers.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I have any more other details apart from why they're called poppers. And but what I will say is one of them is that I did see the challenges. And
yeah. That, oh, yeah. Finally, we were like, we can't talk about it until you go see it.
I know. Here's an interesting fact about the poppers. A survey in 2020 found that in Australia, on gay bisexual men who have sex with men, were using poppers. A quarter of them were using it on a weekly basis.
Weekly.
And the lifetime use is about 40%.
Wait, the lifetime use.
So I guess it's like of all those gay bisexual MSM surveyed, 40% will use them in their lifetime, but a quarter of them are using them every week. So
it's a lot.
Sort of like if you try it once, you're probably going to use it once a week.
Wow. I guess it's like a great rush.
And I would imagine.
And a pretty low stakes.
Pretty low stakes. It's a bit of
it's easy. It's kind of chic.
Yeah,
it's in the pocket. Just open it up. Like it feels very like snuff or like you know that
yes,
like it's
like or yeah, snuff is like having a little bit of tobacco.
Right? Yeah, it's like yeah, it's yeah. got a sort of like oh a little trinket in my pocket.
Yeah, and I do like kind of is it at Centurion where they've got that crazy chandelier that we saw made
yes,
of poppers.
Yes.
I think the bottles can visually be quite cool.
Yeah, I think it's quite...
The aesthetic, obviously Troye Sivan used that aesthetic of the rush as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and an acknowledgement into sort of mainstream media that it's being used.
And I also would imagine if you... Because obviously poppers can help you relax certain muscles. And
your asshole. Right?
And then I imagine if that might become... If it's going to help you and it's not having any adverse effects, why not use it every time?
Yeah.
There you go.
Literally.
The end of... Okay.
So let's go into challenges.
Challenges finished. And I was like, is that my favorite movie? I kind of couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
I don't know if I want to watch... I think I do want to watch it again. I think it'd be a great little like hungover rainy day film. Like pop yeah. it on and just feel like... enthralled by it.
I think it's going to be on streaming pretty soon is the vibe. But Sam came with me and was seeing it for the second time and he said he loved seeing it for the second time because there was lots of things early on that he didn't pick up on that play into how things
interesting.
Play out. Yeah.
I've seen a couple of people go who have been like confused by it. I'm like, what's sort of not to get? Like,
yeah,
it's shot out of time. Like, let's not pretend like that's a weird thing. Like,
yeah, I mean, compared to like Oppenheimer, I feel like it's pretty
yeah.
easy to follow.
Yeah, it's just, and it's like, and it's like fun.
It's, I mean, here's the thing, it's salacious. It's a movie for people who like gossip, I would say.
Really?
Do you think so?
I guess so. It's like
you
sort
keep
of
finding out these details of their past.
Yeah, true. It is salacious. It is sexy too.
It's really.
The music is fantastic.
The music, I know that I'm going to listen to that when I'm trying to, like, I don't know, either go running or, like, get some work done late at night.
That's such a big energy.
Yeah,
and I thought, yeah, like, great styling, like, tennis core back in.
No, the clothes are great.
I love Zendaya in that.
She rocked.
I thought she rocked. But some people are not, like, some people don't call her, like, the shining light of that film. They say she does a great job, but I think she's just phenom.
When I was watching, I think I said this to you the other night, but like during the sex scenes, and look, two beautiful boys,
exactly.
You know, engage my interest, but I've got to say, my eyes were kind of on Zendaya.
Yeah.
She's
yeah, I unbelievable. Agree. I think the makeout scene on the bed was, one of the was so hot. Like, it was like tongues clap, like a big messy pash.
It was
just one of the hottest things I've seen in so long.
Yeah, her kind of leaning back
and
on
her
the
leaning
bed.
Back and watching it. I was like, this is so fucked up. And this film is so, like, it kind of plays into like straight bait.
I know what you mean.
In a way, like,
even, so you know what he's wearing?
Which is so funny, the term straight bait. It's like so horrific.
Yeah, but
I use it like more in terms of like the psychology, I guess, of like, the way that gay men or sort of fetishize or fantasize about straight men.
And because some of the things that are seen as the most straight are simultaneously the most gay.
Yes.
Because I found him when he's in the kind of modern day scene, character of Patrick, the actor who played Prince Charles.
Josh O'Connor.
When he's in his like kind of like black muscle shirt and these weird kind of like Czech shorts, like objectively quite bad clothes. But
yes.
I was like, it's kind of doing it for me.
Yeah.
Because like, and maybe that is because he looks like...
No, it's a straight
guys in gay porn.
It's so intentional. I think like this... Is it shot by a gay man, this film?
Yeah. It's the same director as Call Me By Your Name.
Like, these choices are like... He knows the brain.
Yeah.
He knows what we want to see.
Mm.
And like, it's like... That's what's so clever about... That's why it's horny.
Yeah.
Versus like romantic or sexy. It's like... You're like, it's grubby.
Yeah.
And they're sweaty and they're not like dressed like in little crop tops.
Nah.
But it's like, it's more about seeing like the shoulder or up their shorts.
Up
like
their
it's
shorts so.
So
many shots of them and their little shorts are kind of like leaning over with their butts up. There's the bit where.
It's interesting that when he's on the dating apps, he's actually bi.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
sort
yeah.
of an acknowledgement to their sexuality there.
Yeah, I did like that. I liked when they kind of have the big fight at the end where Zendaya's like, if you, sorry, spoilers if you haven't seen, but she says to her husband, if you lose tomorrow, I'll leave you.
Yeah.
And then he kind of crumbles into her lap, but he is like butt up, leg up. Like in that moment, he literally looks the like a big bottom.
It's so smart, isn't it? It's funny, like the way this dynamic works. Like, what's a marvel about this film is like, straight women, bi women, gay men. I'm curious, bi men. I'm curious about straight men, but I think that, like, it's that demographic found it really hot.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm curious about how straight men find the film.
Straight men find the film. Totally. What do they take? But
because if straight men are finding it as hot as this, as the girls and the gays, the days, like, I'm like, okay. This is clearly like a case study on horniness
that
works has hit one. Like the arrow. Like it's like everyone loves this.
Well, because I feel like the running, the way it's structured around the sport and the mapping of the sport to the storyline, surely straight men are into a bit of that.
Yeah, I guess I'm like, how do straight men find the scene where the two straight guys hook up?
Yeah, no. And that scene, the lead up to that scene is about them like jerking off, like teaching each other to jerk off.
Yeah.
Which is like, I mean, I think there's a lot of straight men who have experienced that. So then...
We need a straight man review of this film.
Should we get a straight man on the pod?
Well, I guess I'll just go to Letterboxd as well, but we should get a straight man on the pod.
But I think that would be really revolutionary.
Yeah, it would be. And we've talked down barriers.
We've talked a big game about straight men this year. We've seen them on the rise.
Yeah, and I mean, we could ask them if they've ever mangined, what they've got out of it.
Yeah, I would love to hear that, actually.
So, Queen of the Week.
Queen of the Week.
I mean, clearly this person that you've forgotten the name of,
yes.
Who's a fan...
But should we say the director of Challengers?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Whose name is Luca Guadagnino.
Yeah, go on.
Guadagnino.
Yeah.
There's a G in there that I'm not pronouncing.
That's fine. There'd definitely be some filmies who are like screaming at that, but I'm not going to have a go.
Yeah. He's done an unbelievable job.
Yeah, we love it. Thank you so much. And thank you for... I mean, we've got Met Gala today.
I know. It's almost crazy that we're doing an episode like hours before that all happens, but we'll get into that next week.
We'll get into that next week. Mm. More culture being made.
Yeah.
We'll be here on watch. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
We love you. Male gaze.
Oh, please. Comedy Festival.
Kicks off this week.
If you're in Auckland this week, Courtney Dawson, can I please recommend her first ever solo show?
It's going to be fantastic.
Friendly Stent, deep friend of the pod.
It's going to be a fantastic show. If you're in Brisbane...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in Brisbane.
Gorgeous.
Please come see me in Brisbane. Do you have anything on?
If you're in Wellington, I am there this Friday and Saturday.
Ah, yeah.
Just 2 days
only. Where are your shows at?
Te Awaha in Tapere Nui, which is the big theatre. So, God, there's plenty of seats. Come on down.
This show is so funny. You got to go see this guy.
Oh, thanks.
Chris. I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it at all. But you've seen a little bit. You saw a taste test in Wellington.
And you're consistently the funniest guy around. There's some great stuff.
Shut up. You are.
And you guys, shut up. We love our chorus line. We are the leads. We love you. Goodbye.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.